Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mock, a podcast for curious thinkers.
Welcome everyone to another MCBI podcast. This little session is getting to know a bit of the MCBI team. You'll get to hear from Johnny Collard in a minute. So welcome, Johnny.
Hello.
Hello. We've taken a bit of time out from our work life to understand, get to know you a little bit.
Indeed, yeah.
But to also get some of your insights around the career of software and programming, and you know what makes a great software person versus an average one, or the other group. But we'll get to that in a minute, because we would like to know a bit about you.
A bit about me. Great.
A bit about you. I know a bit about you, but I'm sure there's always stuff to learn. But
As people could probably tell by my accent already, I am English. I just did the Australian thing where
you
I go at the end of my sentence.
You're not English anymore.
No. It's changing me. I moved over to Australia, must have been about 16 months ago now, with my Australian wife and our little girl, Rosa. So, this feels like a while ago now, actually. Time's gone really quickly, but my family is really important to me, and so I'm looking forward to heading back there in... it must be about 18 days, 6 hours, and about half an hour.
Do we have a monitor up?
Not counting.
Because you come from quite a big family, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I got four brothers and the whole raft of nephews and nieces and, cousins and it's good. Yep.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. So you find yourself, you've come from Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And with, what was the name of that bridge we were looking at in Cambridge that you were saying was
the bridge
highlight?
Of size.
The bridge, yeah. yes.
Indeed.
So tell us a bit about that bridge.
The bridge.
Well,
So there's a bit of a myth that goes around about the bridge that Sir Isaac Newton... designed it, and it was put together, I don't know how long ago, quite a while ago, but essentially the story goes that it was created, it's called the Mathematical Bridge. Bridge of Sight, that's the one
bridge
in Venice.
I don't think that's right, but go on, I thought it was...
It's the Mathematical Bridge.
The very famous one.
Sorry, start over again. But essentially it's made with these geometrical patterns, and the story goes that it was put together without any bolts or screws, and just because of how the wood fitted together, it all just worked. It was fantastic. And then some students took it apart, examined it, had a look at it, and then put it back together, and they couldn't without putting bolts and screws in. So I don't actually think that's true, but it's a pretty cool myth anyway.
It's a great myth. It's actually on Google, and I do encourage our listeners to don't stop this, but if you Google it, it's a great little story.
Yeah, the Mathematical Bridge.
That's great. Yeah. So you've left Cambridge, come to Australia, now you're at MCBI. Can you explain a little bit about what you do at MCBI?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the lead software developer at MCBI. I've been working here for 15 months now, just after I arrived in Australia. Working on a variety of projects with a variety of customers across a variety of sectors, health and manufacturing, automation, so a variety of different, I've said that word too many times.
That's fine, I get the point, there's a lot of variety.
Indeed. So I'm one of those people who actually gets to speak to the customers and to help put together the solution which will actually solve their problems and figure out what that solution needs to be. Mm. And I get to go away and actually make it, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you sort of can follow the dream all the way through, don't you? And then you see it pop out the other end.
Yeah.
You've had a couple of big achievements over the last little while.
Thank you.
Yes.
We have as a team, yeah. We've had some pretty cool... projects I've been working on, a really cool app that we've been working on, which has been great fun, a whole raft of other website projects.
No, it's been a fantastic testament to you and the team.
Yep.
You're helping clients to take ideas and then, as you say, manufacture into reality.
Yeah, bring it to fruition, yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about, what made you become a software developer? Or programmer. Maybe you can explain the difference.
Okay. So for me, well, my background is in maths. I did a maths and computing degree at uni, and the for me, it's the logic and the beauty of great programming and great software development that really, really excites me about it. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess I strive for perfection, for efficiency in all that I do. Can't say that I'm there all the time, but
none of us are.
But no, I guess I want to talk about the difference between a software developer or an engineer and a programmer, and what makes a great software developer. So I guess how to put that: a great software developer understands the system that they're developing at a high level. They understand the client's requirements and can help, and sometimes can help them to see whether the solution that they want is actually even going to solve their problem. And maybe they don't need that as a solution. Maybe they come along and say, "Hey, we need a blockchain to solve our problem." But in actual fact, I don't know. Maybe the help desk sucks, and actually they just need to give the people on the desk some training. I mean, that's not even a software problem, but sometimes it gets down to that kind of level. And actually we've got to see the solution that they need, understand their problem, see the solution that they need, and be able to adjust that the solution accordingly.
It takes a lot of imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so
seeing how the parts are going to fit together and seeing that in advance and trying to fit the jigsaw together, I guess.
Mm. A lot of people think creativity or imagination is for coming up with crafty, you know, pretty little innovative, disruptive things and all the other cliches. And a lot of people would probably underestimate the power of imagination in problem solving.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you've got to think outside the box.
Yeah. Think from different perspectives.
Many ways,
Yeah.
And so again, then the other side that I was going to mention is, so what was I saying? A great software developer understands principles of software development and high level, has a high level understanding. But a great programmer is more focused on the on detail, I guess. They may be, or they're fast at coding. They're hackers, like they're a fantastic hacker or something, I don't know. But what's a good way of describing it? Maybe a good example would be that a great soldier doesn't direct a battle, mm-hmm. and a great commander isn't on the front line with a gun. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in the same way, you don't have like a great programmer doesn't necessarily design the system or the application, mm. and a great software developer or software engineer doesn't spend all their time coding.
Mm.
And I guess the only other thing to add to that is that sometimes you get people who are both, but yes. that's another matter.
They're quite rare, but
Yeah. But then there are attributes definitely that both have,
yep.
and a great great developer, a great engineer, and a great programmer definitely have similar attributes in some ways. They've got to be keen to learn new things. Mm. Got to have an inquiring mind.
Yeah.
Whether it be to learn about a new coding language or understanding maybe a client's legacy system that they've got to integrate an application with, and just having an open mind about how to approach those kind of problems and trying to learn more about the different things that they need to understand in your day-to-day job.
It's a great analogy. I mean, I know we use the war one a lot, an army one a lot, because
yeah.
it's, you know, it's not only is it something that everyone knows, but it actually captures this essence. We all have roles really yep. nicely. We have different levels and different responsibilities.
Sure.
And how you've described that, I guess, brings into focus the need for a really clear vision of where we're all going, and mm-hmm. using the army one, you know, we're going to go invade, I don't know, France. You're English. It's very inappropriate. I don't know, who can we go invade? Mars. Let's go to Mars. But we all need to be lined up and to not only know our direction and our purpose and where we're heading towards, but to understand our role within it as well.
Sure.
Yeah, that's how it sounded like you were talking
about
definitely. The roles.
Yeah, there's definitely a good team needs to have all those different sectors taken care of. Yeah,
yeah,
most definitely. Yeah.
It is. It's interesting. It's also now you've got me thinking of that analogy, but it's funny on the front line, how often do we hear in projects people using that frontline soldier idea that they will see danger that the commander doesn't see.
Yeah, true.
And that capacity to hear and respect and then act upon it so we don't drive a whole army into quicksand or something is pretty powerful. Yeah, that's great. So moving from that continuing that, what do you think holds people back from being a fantastic, you know, professional in your sector?
What holds people back? I think sometimes people can get hung up on a coding language, for example. So some people are more interested in having a debate about what the best coding language is, or and people always ask me, what coding languages do you know? And I don't think it's really the best question, to be honest.
Yes.
Because a great software developer, it's not about the language that you know. It's about how you understand software development and being able to understand the principles. And yeah, sure, there are different languages, and sometimes it might be worth having a discussion about them. Yeah, definitely. But actually just being able to understand the principles of software development and then learn the syntax of different languages later on, that's people sometimes can get hung up on the detail there, I suppose.
It's a bit like all the command, you know, the soldiers all discussing basic moves.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, which gun should we use?
It doesn't matter. They're all going to kill someone.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's a terrible analogy. I wish I had a better one.
Keep going back to it.
I know. It's just easy. What about as individuals? This is a huge booming area of the tech industry, and they're forecasting really serious shortfalls, you know, that are real and, you know, real and present danger, if we continue on that theme. But what, I mean, a lot of individuals in that sector are holding themselves back, possibly. But what are some of the things, like, we hear about communication? I mean, the way you describe things is tremendous.
That is a good point. So you can, and I suppose that sort of relates to what I was saying, but you can get hung up on technical skills sometimes, and yes, there is, you have to have technical skills, but it is very important to have that good communication, to have a lot of the interpersonal skills, to be able to speak to your customers, to be able to communicate within your teams, to avoid ambiguity and which is, you know, the big, that's one, a big killer often in software
killer
projects.
I thought you meant this. No, I thought you meant that.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yep. Yeah. I guess striving for specifics, add another alliteration.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. One that people can get, can struggle with. And it's, in many projects across many areas, definitely.
I think they say about seven out of 10 software projects will fail according to the original idea. Part of it, these are these fabulous, fabulous reports that are rolled out, but the number one killer is communication.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, how that interconnects.
Yeah, not too surprised, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a great figure.
No.
All right, well, we're coming to the end of our time together. We have to go back and do some work. Apparently.
What a shame.
I know, what a shame. be interested in your ideas and what do you think some of the big trends that are going to be coming through in this area.
Okay.
And some of the issues that you see the sector being faced with over the next couple of years.
Okay. So I guess from a development kind of background, I'm probably more focused on technologies rather than other things. But for me, automation, I've had conversations with quite a few different people recently about, will my job even exist in, a couple of years' time? And that's a really valid concern for some, certainly for some roles and some industries. So I think that's a big one. blockchain seems to be a word that's on many people's lips at the moment. Mm. And understanding, the many applications that can have throughout many different industries is a big one. Mm. And I guess VR, AR, I think that's pretty exciting.
Virtual reality and augmented reality.
Exactly, yeah. And just seeing some of the applications in just even in gaming and, you know, having an AR device in, most people have them in their pockets now. Mm. Their phones can be pretty powerful and can do some pretty cool stuff. So I think there are going to be some big advancements in those areas, definitely. Mm.
Because a lot of that, it's interesting watching the cool stuff then mature into business application and some, generating some really alternate ways to be able to get outcomes.
Yeah, yep. So and really, really being able to sort of farm the benefits of those kind of technologies and reap the rewards. Because there's all the cool stuff that happens when people figure out, oh, we can do this with, this new technology. But then as soon as it becomes a business prospect and
lose interest.
Well, yeah, I guess there is that too.
There is. No, it is an interesting, I think it is probably the most interesting couple of years in my career I've seen in terms of transitionary sides. But I love some of these ideas that the difference between being able to articulate and understand a concept on the software side. And then we've got all these soldiers out there doing fantastic coding, which in itself is, I think it's probably a misunderstood and poorly valued part of our sector.
Yeah.
You know, what a great programmer can do.
Yep. Indeed.
Is there, just as we leave, I'm going to ask you four really, really quick questions just so we get to know Johnny a little bit more.
Fire away.
Okay. So, favourite, what was the first car you ever owned?
First car?
Yep.
First car was my granddad's car.
Did
my
he know?
My granddad's old car. he'd passed away at that point.
I'm not going to dig into that story.
but it was a Vauxhall Astra.
Oh, that's pretty.
What do you call them? You don't call them Vauxhalls, do you? Holden.
Holden. Wow, that's not bad.
So no, it was
what colour?
Quite nice. It was like a navy blue.
Ah, very good. Okay, red wine, white wine.
Red.
Red wine.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you're in the right state in South Australia.
There is a nice selection, certainly.
There is a white chocolate or dark chocolate or milk chocolate you can have, because you can have one of those three options.
Okay. I would probably go... Oh, I'm going to go dark.
Dark chocolate?
Yeah.
Rum and raisin or just...
Definitely rum and raisin.
Okay.
Rum and raisin in any kind of form is good.
And very last one. If you weren't doing software stuff or tech stuff, what would be your perfect job?
When I was really young, I wanted to be an archaeologist.
Yes.
I wanted to dig stuff up and find things and put them together.
Yes.
But then for quite a while, I wanted to be a carpenter. I love working with wood.
How interesting.
And then here I am doing software development.
Isn't that funny? I think it's funny because one of the another profession I work with have over the years, he wants to be an wanted to be an archaeologist and studied, and he's probably one of the best enterprise architects and head of risk now I've ever met.
Well, there we go.
There you go. Must be some pedigree in it. Thank you very much for spending some time with us, Johnny.
Thank you for having me.
It's been good fun, and I'm sure people will appreciate that very insightful definition between the two and the values that come with it. Thank you, and to our listeners, hope you have a great rest of the day.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.